you want it at all. I know you.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 2 of Film Chat on Waveframe. It's a series that we're doing where we talk about movies, we talk about pop culture, stuff we've listened to and watched recently. My name is Isaac.
And my name is Brian.
And today, we're going to be talking about a few different things, but first of all, Seven Psychopaths and Banshees of Inisherin.
Mm-hmm.
Which, did you just look up what Inisherin is?
No.
Okay. Didn't. Okay.
I still don't know.
Okay. Well, we both are going to wonder what that is. I think it's a fictional island. But before we get into that, we are going to plug a few things. You should follow us on Instagram if you aren't already. We're at WaveframePod. And also, I have my art/myself Instagram called. It's labeled ip.debor, so like those are my initials. Do you want to plug anything?
I told Isaac beforehand. I am committed this year. I used to do like stand-up comedy just locally, just random sets around town.
Yeah.
And I've been telling myself for the last 2 years that I was going to like go back to doing that. So this is more just like public accountability for myself. So that the, you know, the 5 friends who listen to this can ask me how revamping my very, very low-level stand-up career is going. But,
yeah,
I really just want to write again. Like, I miss writing jokes. So
Yeah. I love that stand-up can be viewed as writing. A lot of people who watch stand-up, they don't even know that people are writing it behind the scenes and workshopping it and practicing it.
Yeah.
Some people just think they get up there and say funny things. It's like, no, it takes a lot of work.
Yes. Some people can do that.
Yeah.
And those people are incredible.
Incredibly talented.
But yeah. The real talent is having the whole thing written word for word and the timing perfectly timed.
Oh, yeah.
And making it sound.
Yeah.
Like you're just talking.
And those comedians can go to the South, the North, the East, and West, mm-hmm. and those cultures are all completely different. And if you workshop it while you're touring, you make it where it's the best version it can be. And it's a good podcast if you want to learn more about that. It's called Working It Out with Mike Birbiglia.
Oh.
I know you already know it, but our listeners might not know Working It Out.
We love it.
Excellent podcast.
Can confirm Inisherin is not a real island.
Ah, fictional island.
Yep.
Well, it definitely feels real in the movie.
It does.
Yeah. So, just like we've done in every single episode we've recorded, let's talk about something we're grateful for. How's your agency and gratitude doing these days?
In every single of the 2 episodes. in working here in a dormitory, sometimes we do these gatherings of residents where we just get together to talk life.
Yeah.
And, last night group got together and I just kind of jumped in and it was actually a former resident, and staff member. And, he just like shared some really big stuff and it's similar to things that have been happening to me in my life recently. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like really grateful that like I got to bond with somebody that I haven't been able to touch base with in a long time for a while, and we just like we got to bond over mutual suffering.
Mm.
And
yeah,
I'm not grateful for suffering by any means, but I think I just like ended the day yesterday being like, man, like how cool is it that I got to like reconnect with this person. And it was over really hard stuff, but it was just really like, yeah, it's just really beautiful to be able to talk about that stuff. So
that is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's one thing for somebody to say, oh, I've been through that before and commiserate in that sense. It's a whole different thing if they can say, I'm going through that right now.
Yeah.
And commiserate in that way.
Yeah.
Like that is not common and also really special.
Yeah, and not to like belabor this bit, but as in the therapy world, like, it's a one-sided relationship.
Yeah.
And there's something really beautiful about that, yeah. right? Like, somebody shares with me, and they don't have to carry my stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And there's something beautiful about that. Mm-hmm. But I think I was grateful. I was like, oh, like, I also have these relationships where we can carry stuff together. And, yeah, it's just different in that way. But
yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What I'm thankful for is that today I got the opportunity to go to a place called Static Tape over in, like, south of Muskegon in Norton Shores Mall. And my friend Ethan Hone told me about it. And I got a few different movies. And one of my favorite movies ever is Steve Jobs. Not the Ashton Kutcher movie. The Michael Fassbender movie. Directed by Danny Boyle, and the screenwriter is Aaron Sorkin. And it's just an amazing movie. It's one of the few movies that has just made me, like, really, really cry at the end.
I haven't seen it.
It's very good. A lot of movies, biopics especially, they will try to stuff the whole life of a famous person into one movie. And that's a mistake, in my opinion. So then the fact that this is just, like, 3 hours of his life, but from different time periods.
Oh.
So it's like 1 hour in the, I don't know, 1991, 1 hour in 1995, 1 hour in 2000. I'm getting those years wrong. But yeah. The idea is that, like, it shows him right before a launch of, you know, significant milestones in the Apple saga. So yeah, Steve Jobs, check it out. But
I also love that you are buying DVDs.
Well, I'm also buying, like, VHSs. This one's called Dinosaurs, Stone Age Monsters Return to Life.
This store
had an excellent variety of VHS tapes. And I only buy DVDs and Blu-rays of, like, things I really love. But for VHS tapes, like, this is $1.
Oh, my god!
This was $1. And I just want some time to, like, watch a movie from wherever it is, like, 1956, about dinosaurs.
Have you seen this?
No, okay. I have not seen it. So my rationale for these is that I will rent a movie on Amazon Prime for, like, $4, not even think about it, really.
Yeah.
But buying a physical, like, movie is so awesome.
Yeah.
I also bought The Natural, which has Robert Redford.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I have not seen this movie, but I'm so excited to see it.
That's a good one.
On VHS.
You got to put up a picture of these.
Oh, I will.
On the Instagram.
That's a really good idea.
This dinosaur's cover is fantastic.
I also bought this movie called Ed Wood, which is starring Johnny Depp, and it's one of Tim Burton's, like, best movies, supposedly.
Like, 20-year-old Johnny Depp.
Yeah, and this movie is all about, I think, a real-life filmmaker. So have you seen that movie, The Disaster Artist?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like that, only it came out in the 90s.
Okay.
And Ed Wood was a guy who made, he tried really, really, really hard to make excellent movies, but people, like, laughed at them and thought they were horrible and terrible. So I found a lot of these through the YouTube channel Red Letter Media.
Yeah.
They talk about really good movies or, like, weird movies, and Ed Wood is one of them.
Can we quick talk about, there's just a quote on the back of this VHS that says, "The all-star cast features sexy Sarah Jessica Parker."
Somebody felt really good writing that.
Yeah, they were pumped.
They were like,
"We,
I know how to describe this woman."
Things that wouldn't happen today. Also, yes. A quote from the New York Post. It's one of the year's funniest.
That is funny.
That's great.
And I was able to pun intended, cop this movie RoboCop 2 on VHS. It's got a gorgeous cover, a pristine cover. And this one was $3 instead of $1. I've seen the first one, but Red Letter Media said that RoboCop 2 is, like, really good, but not as good as the first one. It's almost got, like, more personality than the other ones. And I do, or I should say, like, maybe a little bit more, like, rough around the edges personality.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, it feels more right to have RoboCop 2 on VHS than RoboCop 1. I don't know why, but sometimes my rationale for buying movies that are on VHS, because I do have a CRT like TV to play these, but my rationale is like, okay, does it give off a VHS vibe? Like, Steve Jobs does not give off a VHS vibe. Also, it came out after VHS were, like, made. And, like, if it's already a lower, maybe, quality movie, like, RoboCop 2 gives off that kind of trashy vibe, but, like, smart trashy, like, really well-written trashy.
Yeah, it's a sizzling sequel.
Yeah, exactly.
To the 1987 sci-fi blockbuster.
Yeah, and I think...
I'm not even reading that off the back. That's just...
that's just from your
it's
brain.
It's a sizzling.
That's off the dome.
It's a sizzler.
But, yeah, RoboCop 2, like, the world is grungy, so therefore I feel better about watching it on VHS. Yeah.
Also, just, like, the sounds of a VHS tape.
Yes.
Just, like...
Yes.
Like, that is giving me flashbacks.
Exactly.
Like, very nostalgic.
And you can, like, hold it in your hand, and it's almost a miracle that it's, like, such low tech.
Yeah.
It feels like it shouldn't play a movie. It feels like it should be a cheap little toy that breaks within 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But I also got the Rocketeer.
Oh, yeah.
I only have a few more. Yeah, I wanted to watch this at one point, but we watched, like, a little clip of it, and people were not into it. But that's okay. At some point, I'll watch it.
On VHS.
On VHS, exactly.
Yeah.
I have two more.
Oh, my gosh.
One is the Blues Brothers.
Yep.
And one is Fargo.
Yep. Have to.
So.
Wow.
Anyway, I got a great haul.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. I spent literally, I think, like two and a half hours there.
Dang.
Because I got to know the owner. His name's Harrison. And he's a really cool guy.
Shout out, Harrison.
Shout out to Harrison. And there's a tape exchange on April 20 at Spin City / Static Tape, where a bunch of people are coming to sell their VHS or DVDs and stuff like that, vinyl. It's on vinyl day, April 20, in Muskegon. You should go. I'm on call, so I can't go, but somebody else should go.
It's essentially an estate sale.
Yes.
At this point.
Yes. Like,
they're going to sell their VHSs.
Exactly. But they're going to get other ones. Yeah, so they're going to go home with probably more than they came with.
Oh my God.
But the last thing I'll say is that, honestly, weirdly enough, VHS are slowly becoming more popular again, like vinyl, and more expensive again, like vinyl. So if you have horror VHS tapes, those are the hot ticket items.
I thought they were, like, slowly degrading, though, because, like, the film can't last forever.
I think you're right about that, but with horror especially, that's kind of the appeal. Is that, like, if this is a low-budget horror movie from the 80s or 90s, like when there was the Satanic Panic, or when there was just, like, people were afraid of playing Dungeons & Dragons because they thought,
sort of vibe. That's Satanic,
you know, Panic. Like the Reagan era, where the first lady, what was her name? Nancy Reagan.
Yeah.
She put on, like, albums like, this is explicit, don't listen to this.
Oh, yeah. That was Nancy?
I think it was Nancy.
Wow.
And, she popularized getting really hysterical about, you know, things that could be awful and bad. And so horror movies, some of them in, like, Europe were banned, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's what Harrison was telling me about.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Shout out, Harrison.
Shout out to him. Really cool guy. I also met Jeffrey, who is a person who stops by, and he sells some DVDs to Harrison. So,
dang.
If you want to sell your DVDs, go over to Spin City / Static Tape.
Yeah. I love the cast of the Steve Jobs movie just on the cover here. Like, I love it because Seth Rogen's in it.
Yeah.
And I love how Seth Rogen just kind of appears in serious movies.
Yes.
Like, he's in all these, you know, goofy stoner movies, but then he'll just sort of appear in a serious role randomly.
Yes.
And like, oh, it's Seth Rogen.
He plays Steve Wozniak, who people...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. People argue is, like, the main reason why Apple was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like, the mastermind. Like, he knew all the, like, intricate details of how to create things. Whereas one of the lines in this movie, Steve Jobs says, like, your first chair or something like that... in the orchestra, I play the orchestra.
Yeah.
He's like saying, I'm the conductor. I don't make the stuff. I make sure it's popular.
Yep.
You know, I see the vision.
Interesting.
So anyway, thanks for letting me do a little show and tell on an audio only medium.
You should definitely like put up a photo of all those. Yeah. Like just seeing the covers is,
I know,
is hysterical.
It brings back so much nostalgia, and I love it for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm grateful for. And yeah.
Yours is way more fun than mine.
I'm really grateful for suffering.
I like VHSs.
We need a little bit of both. It's
yes,
good.
Yes, we need both. Yeah. Next week, I'll do a serious one.
Yeah. I'll stop being sad.
Soon. Well, speaking of sad, what did you think of Seven Psychopaths?
I think my favorite thing about it was like, in trying to recollect what the plot was.
Yeah.
And you like, you can't.
No.
Like, you can't explain this movie succinctly.
Uh-uh.
But it's still really enjoyable.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it feels like the director just threw every idea he had at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of works.
Yeah.
So, and then there's that random, like, side story with the Vietnamese guy, and it's just there. It doesn't really contribute much. It
just maybe thematically, because the plot of this movie, if I were to try to explain it right now,
yes,
is a screenwriter, which is always interesting because a screenwriter in real life is writing a screenwriter in fictional life.
It feels like Inside Baseball.
Yeah,
a bit, but
it is.
It's fine. It works.
It definitely is. And he has this idea for a movie called Seven Psychopaths. And so he needs to think of seven different psychopaths.
Mm-hmm.
So the Vietnamese guy is the last psychopath, I think, that they solidify for the movie.
Yes.
But
he never actually shows up.
No.
In any of their lives in any capacity.
He's fictional, like, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a movie that bounces around a lot. Which is good for repeat rewatchability value, because I had seen it before and then we watched it about like 2 weeks ago or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really happy to watch it again because I was like, I know vaguely where this is going, but I also need to pick up on more details. So yeah, it feels like in the writing process, they should have taken out a half hour of stuff that happened to streamline the movie. But at the same time, it was kind of fun.
Yeah. No, I think that was like partially the point. Like, I think I haven't seen In Bruges, so I can't commentate for sure. But between Seven Psychopaths and then, what's the director's name?
I think it's, well, there's two directors. There's John Michael McDonough.
Okay.
And then there's Martin McDonough.
Okay.
So, and they're brothers.
Okay.
And so I always get their movies mixed up because they both make movies and they both star some of the same people.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is Martin McDonagh.
Okay.
He's the more famous, prolific one. Yeah, he did Seven Psychopaths, In Bruges, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, and Banshees of Inisherin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the same guy did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've seen Seven Psychopaths and Banshees of Inisherin. I've not seen In Bruges or the other one.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's in both of them, like, there are themes of like the creative process, and then there is the theme of just like, I don't know if this is intentional at all, but like the theme of like somebody just really wants to be friends with the other with one of the other characters.
Yeah,
and I feel like at the end of the day, what Seven Psychopaths is about, if it's about anything at all, is like, this guy just really wants to be friends.
Yes.
So it's like the screenwriter's friend is going to any lengths to like be involved in his life.
Played by Sam Rockwell.
Yes.
Who did an immensely great job, in my opinion, just as like this annoying guy.
Yeah,
it
was really obnoxious.
But it was funny whenever he just like killed someone without any remorse at all. Just like mid conversation sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. The true psychopath.
But yeah, I feel like even in Bruges, there's a little bit of a theme of friendship. Mm-hmm. There's a bit, it's not in the same way as Banshees, but yeah, I mean, like in Seven Psychopaths, it feels like the metaphor I would use is you have a bag of popcorn in front of you, but you never know if you're going to eat a cheddar or caramel or confetti, whatever flavor popcorn.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't all come together, and yet it's still like tasty and good.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
That's a really good metaphor.
Because like there's so many different storylines, and a lot of them are done well. But I think my favorite one is Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
He has some gravitas as an actor, and throughout this movie he's pretty grief stricken, and he plays that very understated. He's pretty subtle with it, and yet you can feel the immensity of how much he loved the person who died.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when he gets to that point of like screw it,
yes,
you know, just like all in, like it, like yeah, like. He reaches that interesting point in a character when they just like, it's not quite nihilism, but they just don't care anymore.
Yes.
And they're sort of unpredictable in that way.
Yes.
And I really like when he reaches that point.
It's when it gets most interesting. Like in high school, I remember that scene where the guy's like, put your hands up. And he's like, no.
And then, was that your Christopher Walken?
That was my Christopher Walken. And, which is very caricaturized. But the guy's like, what? I got a gun. And he's like, I don't care.
Yeah. You know? He was kind of like, screw it before, right?
Yes.
I think there's this scene in the warehouse where there's guys with guns.
Yeah, true. He's like, He would rather have his integrity than his life.
Yep.
Which says so much about a character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no. It was like I heard it. It was there. He was in there. But it was...
Go look up that scene online. That's better than a trailer, I would say.
Yeah.
If you like that, then you'll like the movie.
Put your hands up.
No. I said no.
Why not?
I don't want to.
But I've got a gun.
I don't care.
It doesn't make any sense.
Too bad.
But yeah, so Banshees of Inisherin, did you think it was better than Seven Psychopaths?
It was this is a cop out answer. I liked it more, but it was like I was expecting it to feel more like Seven Psychopaths just because it was like Colin Farrell and same director and stuff.
Yeah.
It was slower, but I thought it was more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a very different movie. The humor was the same. Like the humor is where you can like see the thread because in both movies people just like say things really bluntly.
Yes.
And that's what's funny.
Yes.
It's just like very on the nose.
Like his sister's always insulting Barry Coogan, the weirdo.
Yeah, I think it's Dominic is the character.
Okay, his name's Dominic.
I think so.
The guy who like tries to ask her out by the pond.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
She just rejects him. Uh-huh. And he's like, "There goes that dream," or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. His dreams die, or whatever. Yes, like, yes. He's just very like... yeah, but then like at the very beginning, the main character Colin Farrell. I think it's Podrick or Podrick.
Something like that.
He goes to see the other main character, Colm, C-O-L-M.
Yeah.
Which I only know because I had subtitles on. It sounds just like Colin.
You kind of need subtitles for that
Colin,
movie.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. The accents are really thick. But, like, he goes and you can tell, like, they used to be, like, best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old creepy lady.
Yes.
Oh, no. It's his sister that goes... Maybe he just doesn't want to be friends with you anymore. And she's like joking around. But that's what it is. Yep. Like he just doesn't want to be friends anymore. And it's because he thinks he's boring.
Yes. He doesn't add anything to his life.
Yeah, because he doesn't add anything.
He wants to be like Mozart.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just...
Or like some famous, amazing person who contributes to his society.
Yeah.
Because He's really into playing the violin or the fiddle. Mm-hmm. I can't remember which.
Yeah. And so, like, I think, and I've said this to you, it's like, I kept thinking there was going to be more to the movie. And there is, like, there's some other subtle plot lines, but the movie really is like, Calm just doesn't want to be friends with him anymore. Yeah. And he can't deal with it.
No, he can't accept that.
Yeah, like he can't accept that somebody just doesn't want to hang out with him anymore. And yeah, it's just comical how much it's a whole movie that just leans into that.
Yes. And it doesn't just lean into it. It like full throttles the most intense you could ever go with that.
Yeah.
Like he's cutting off his own fingers one by one.
It feels sort of like an I Think You Should Leave skit.
Yes, yes.
Except not.
Yes.
Not, it's like, it's funny, but it's not supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
But it's just like, you know, I Think You Should Leave is like, let's come up with an uncomfortable premise and then just hit the gas pedal and then it ends.
Yeah.
And this is sort of like that, where it's like,
uh-huh,
this guy just doesn't want to be friends with you anymore. And we're just going to hit the gas on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just ends.
Which is, like, kind of interesting. Very interesting. Not kind of.
Yeah.
But I was going to say kind of an interesting could be, like, writing practice. Like, okay, let's take a normal thing where somebody's chronically late to things.
Yeah.
And then let's just go 11 out of 10 with that.
Yeah.
And see how much conflict we can... It's like squeezing a towel that has water in it. You're just squeezing every inch out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see a lot of people like not making it through
this Banshees. Movie.
Yeah. Like all of the peacemakers in the world just squirming.
Yes. Yes.
Until they have to turn it off.
Oh, definitely. You know? And I mean, I think it's aware of some of that because his sister is such a dose of reality.
Mm-hmm.
She does such a great job of being like, you guys are both stupid. You're both stupid men.
Yeah.
And you can't communicate. And one of you's got to change, and you're both refusing to change.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember her name.
Well, her actor name is Carrie Condon.
Okay.
And she was nominated for an Oscar, and she did not win, I believe. But I think she's kind of like what grounds that movie.
Yes.
And she does a great job of being rational, smart.
Yeah.
And then she has a cool character arc where she leaves by the end.
Oh, it's Soban.
Soban?
Soban? Soban? It's a very Irish movie.
Yes, it's like the most Irish movie.
Yeah.
And they don't swear in the same way we do. They say F-E-C-K.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
which is in a lot of the Letterboxd reviews, which are fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very fun.
Yeah. It made me really want to see In Bruges.
I think I have a theory and a prediction that you will like In Bruges the best out of the three.
People who I've talked to have said that is like, that's one of their favorites. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, Ray Fiennes, who is the most confusing to pronounce name ever, he played Voldemort, and his name written out is Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
But
it's Ray Fiennes?
Yeah, you pronounce it like Ray Fiennes.
That is obnoxious.
I know, exactly.
Is that a normal, I'm assuming he's British?
He's probably Welsh or something. I don't know. But he gives one of the best performances in that movie.
Okay.
He's so good in that movie.
Yeah. On both, he's also good. It's Colin Farrell again.
Yep. And Brendan Gleeson.
Yep. Who's Mad-Eye Moody.
Yep.
Got it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's one of those families in Hollywood where his son is Domhnall Gleeson, who plays Bill Weasley.
Oh, wow.
And he's in like the Star Wars movies as like General Hux.
Oh, yeah,
He's the redheaded guy.
Yep, yep,
yep. And I think he has a brother, but I don't know the brother's name.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Gleesons.
The Gleason family.
And they're actually in a movie together or a series or something.
Yeah, Harry Potter.
Yeah. Well, a different one.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, where Brendan Gleeson's like a detective and his son's like a serial killer or something like that.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember what it is. But yeah, do you want to talk about American Fiction?